Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Stand by. Your starting quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, set to talk in Berea right here on Baskin and Phelps. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. I'm still trying to dissect what we heard from Kevin Stefanski today.
You're a little off the deep end today.
We're sitting here. This team is barely relevant in the NFL. I'm not trying to be mean, but let's take a deep dive into what they really are right now. I am still we went into this thing with four quarterbacks. The two veterans are gone. You can't tell me that if Deshaun Watson's healthy, I don't know how the Browns keep him off the roster. Go.
A little bit of news, gentlemen, courtesy of Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Flacco will be your starter on Sunday for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow. Okay.
Is Joe speaking today in Cincinnati? We can play that press conference
soon. I
figured you'd want to run that press conference today.
Let's get a lant on that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good lant job.
Will the first question at the Bengals press conference be about the backup quarterback? Only in Cleveland. We've got a veteran quarterback that was here that just got traded. You would think the first question to the head coach would be about the quarterback that just got traded within the division. Nope. It's about the third string quarterback and where we're going with this thing. And by the way, it was the right question to ask. I was just kind of shocked that it was the first one, but that's okay. I have no problem with that. You were trying to figure out if Shedeur Sanders is your backup quarterback. He is inching up the depth chart, I would think, maybe. Or is Bailey Zappe going to jump him?
And does it matter as long as Dylan Gabriel's healthy and playing okay?
He's one snap away, whoever
it
is.
Well, they all are.
Oh, all right, we're standing by for Dylan Gabriel. He should be talking momentarily. Is that fair, Dan, to say?
Sometime.
Is that a fair thing to say? Normally,
yes, it's as good as mine.
Okay, thank you.
We will do our darndest to keep you up to date on any developments when it comes to who will be speaking and why.
I have a lot of people that want to talk.
Speaking and why?
All right, Jeff. I mean, we just enter the 1 o'clock hour here today. Just give me your thoughts on this whole zoo that's going on. Is it maybe it's not a zoo? Maybe everything was absolutely predicted and planned. It does sound like, and I've had other people say to me, text me, this is the first time that Kevin's. It kind of feels like there's a disconnect between Kevin and Andrew.
I have had that from multiple people as well. I'm going to disagree. Andrew's job is to deal with the players in the roster, and Kevin's job is to coach them. And correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin didn't say he wasn't consulted on the trade, did he?
I don't think he was asked.
I didn't hear him say that. What I did hear him say is they called us.
Correct.
And we were kind of caught off guard by it.
Here is Joe Flacco on the trade. Here is Kevin Stefanski on the Joe Flacco trade.
The Joe trade took us by surprise. That was not something that we saw coming. You know, they called us, and you know it happened very fast and happened not too long ago. So still working through all roster type of things. I always have to be mindful of our players and our players' development, and I want to make sure that I'm always doing what's best for our players and, of course, our team. But, you know, with young players, I'm always thinking about last week making the change to Dylan. You have to think long and hard about that because these are young players that you're so invested in their development. So I'll let the week play out, make a decision later on that.
See, here's the thing. Joe had already been...
By the way, that was talking about the backup quarterback.
Yeah. Joe had already been demoted to second string.
Yes.
He's 40. He's not going to be here next year. They were 1-3 with him, and of the 38 ranked quarterbacks in the NFL, he was 37th. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you bench Troy Aikman here in his prime. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you trade him. Does it give you less of a chance to win? I don't know that it does, because Joe hadn't played very well here in the offensive system that he was given to use. I'm sure he'll play better in Cincinnati than he played here.
But he's got better targets.
Without question. But you could make the argument that their offensive line is significantly more porous, that's for sure. I hope he doesn't get hurt, if you want to know the truth. Joe Burrow did.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. And so, though, to me, it's not as if the Browns said, we want less of a chance to win. You weren't winning with Joe, and he wasn't playing very well in this system. Maybe Dylan Gabriel gives you a better chance to win. Maybe Bailey Zappe gives you a better chance to win. Maybe Shedeur Sanders gives you a better chance to win. So I'm not losing any sleep over the fact that they traded Joe. I do think it's interesting they traded him to a division rival they're trying to catch, and they just moved from the sixth to the fifth round.
Yeah.
For Joe Flacco, okay, that's what you got. For giving your opponent a starting quarterback who they are going to start and who probably will do a better job for them than he did for you because of their talent that's around him, not much of a return, is it?
No, I'm just perplexed by it all. I don't want to shift into next year yet, and that's the hard part.
Because we did that on draft day.
I know. I don't want to do it, though. All right, we are standing by, and we are waiting for Dylan Gabriel's press conference, which should be coming up shortly here. I'm going to take a quick phone call. I think we have time. Nate in West Salem. Nate, if I got to cut you off, it's for the press conference. Go ahead.
And I'll be quick. Sure. You said earlier the only reason why we would send Joe to an AFC North rival is that we're trying to catch is that he's old and done. The other reason is that we're not actually trying to catch anyone.
True.
That's the reason, guys.
Mm. Which, right, Nate goes you. Back to, we knew what was going on draft day when they picked up an extra first round pick, and assuming in a better quarterback draft, they're going to take a quarterback.
Mm. Mark is in Amherst. Mark, go ahead. If I got to cut you off, it's for the press conference. Keep going.
Okay. I just wanted to say something about Kevin Stefanski and his offense. I think when you brought up that he likes to play it safe in the fourth quarter, he tries to win the game with his strength, which is his defense, and he is very predictable on his play calling at that point, puts a lot of pressure on that offense to get first downs.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, Mark. It's funny, Jeff, you brought it up earlier in the show, and I kind of forgot about it. His offense has really kind of dulled out over the last year. Since in this scenario where they're having trouble getting over 20 points, he isn't exactly like throwing the playbook or the kitchen sink at the other teams. And I felt like he used to. I felt like he would try more trick plays and be like, what is he trying to do? Quit trying to be the smartest guy out there, you know? And I think fans, he can't win either way because fans are going to be, if it works, he's a genius. He's an idiot. He's not a very good, So.
Can I just give you something?
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Okay, then go.
What you just said about the play calling and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just throw this at you. You ready?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham. Rashard Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant, David Njoku. And the same line you have now, but with J.C. Treader at center and mm-hmm. Jed Wills at left tackle. What was that? That was the team Kevin coached to an 11-5 record. That team had some skill position guys.
Yeah,
didn't
they did. Yeah.
Yeah. And he knew what to do with it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you that.
They were 14th in points in the NFL that year, 25.5 points per game.
I just
16th in yards per game.
Am I alone in thinking that it feels like there's a disconnect now?
Between the front office and the coach? No, I don't feel that
way
at all.
You don't think so at all?
No.
Dan, you feel that at all?
think it's interesting that Kevin Stefanski sounded like a guy who really didn't want to get rid of his veteran quarterback.
You know what a veteran quarterback is to a head coach? It's Linus's blanket.
Yeah.
It's his security blanket.
But he talked about how much he likes developing these young guys. I mean,
well,
if you really love the development part of it, then you don't want the veteran guy. Well, you want the guys you can develop.
Andy, you probably didn't want the veteran guy the minute you made the trade.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
In the first round.
But Flacco isn't a guy they had to bring back. They didn't have to.
Yeah, I still don't understand why they did.
I'm still trying to figure out why they picked up Kenny Pickett in the first place. I don't get that.
He would have been the guy to play if you were trying to win some games and see if you might have a quarterback who could be here long term.
Oh,
wasn't Joe.
He had all the Steelers' secrets. That's what it was. And now we just gave away all of our secrets.
Nobody had 15 wins and 25 starts in the NFL.
This is all just...
Dan and I are in huge agreement.
Yeah.
The minute that they made the trade, they immediately pointed the quarterback situation to next year, and really nothing that happens this year
then
matters.
Why did they unless just they, been saying it since
problem.
July?
If they were leaning towards next year, then why waste two draft picks on quarterbacks?
They knew it.
If they knew it the minute they made the trade and said, okay, we don't want to have the number two pick, we're going to pick up another first-round pick for next year. We've already got two quarterbacks in-house.
I'll tell you why.
All we need is one more. That we can develop, and maybe he'll be the two.
You're not going to like it. They drafted both of them because they thought they were the best guy on their board and intrigued them the most. And if you can develop a quarterback, Andy, that's currency in the NFL. You can trade a quarterback and get something in return.
But they had so many other... They definitely could have taken... You don't think they could have taken an offensive lineman in the third round?
And Andy, what if they had made this mediocre offense better to the point where you hurt yourself for next April?
Well, I don't know how drafting an offensive lineman rather than a quarterback, especially knowing that you had two quarterbacks that one you know probably isn't coming back next year. And then you had Pickett, who you have said, and I can agree with, that they had that. So why wouldn't they have just picked Gabriel or Sanders? I have a lot of trouble digesting the fact.
They apparently thought Shador was a really great value in the fifth round. That's the way the draft
They
works.
Could have drafted an offensive lineman. They could have drafted a wide receiver.
There's a million things
they could have done other than draft two quarterbacks and continue the drama chain.
Well, one of them's,
in Northeast
one of
Ohio.
Them's playing already. Forget the drama, Andy. They're trying to build a football team. And I didn't say win games, did
well,
I? They're trying
no.
to build a football team.
If I was trying to
that's
build
more
a football
than a one-year
team,
process.
If I was trying to build a football team, knowing that I had two veteran quarterbacks and going on your premise that once they made the trade, they were going to draft their quarterback next year, I sure as you know what would have drafted an offensive lineman. Stand by. Dylan Gabriel's coming up here pretty soon.
They've got offensive linemen.
You want to take a quick timeout? All right, let's take a really quick timeout. We'll come back. I do think Dylan Gabriel's going to hit the podium here any second. So once he does, we'll break back in. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Dylan, what was your? How'd you find out? What was your reaction when you heard that Joe was trading yesterday?
Yeah, found out we had a QB meeting. Got to talk to Joe right before he was heading out. But like I said before, I appreciate him. He's a part of the journey, and this journey for me individually in the NFL. So grateful for him, and wish him the best of luck for sure.
How much of a shock was it for you?
I'm not surprised by anything at this point in the NFL. It's the day and age we live in. So anything can really happen. So
how do you replace that experience and leadership that I think you were relying on to some degree without him here? And then what's that dynamic in that room now?
Yeah, I think dynamic is always evolving, especially when there is change. But I think it still goes back to us, you know, being able to have that experience for yourself. I think you learn the best when you are thrown into a fire a little bit. I'd be a hypocrite to say otherwise. So I think the more experience you gain, game after game, week after week, you'll get better. And, B. Zapp has played a bunch of ball as well. So,
Dylan, from an individual standpoint, what were your first impressions when you watched the film?
Yeah, just, a lot to clean up. There's always going to be, good and bad. But I think just having a calm persistence to attack it regardless of the result and try to get better within your process. But is there things I want back? 100%. You know what I mean? I think that's for everyone in this game. But I think you got to look at it and find solutions and be solutions-based that can help, the outcome here in the future.
In your vast college career, you've played in a lot of hostile environments.
Yep.
Pittsburgh is one in the NFL. So would you rather not know the history of the Pittsburgh, playing in Pittsburgh? Keep your mind uncluttered and just find out for yourself what it's like?
I think you kind of find out by yourself. Of course, you hear a lot from others and understanding the rivalry. And, myself playing in rivalry games, totally understand that. But I still think there's, just the main importance of just doing your job, and doing it at a high level. So that'll all come, and have a lot of respect for Pittsburgh and what they've done. And that's for every opponent we play.
Dylan, what is maybe one major thing that you learned from Joe Flacco? What will you continue to hear or see in your mind about something that he told you or taught you?
Yeah, I don't think it's one thing. I wouldn't want to limit it to that, but I think just overall his process, how he's been about his business from day one, really, how he approaches meetings, practice, taking care of his body, kind of his daily routine. So I think you pick up on that as you're around people and try to make it your own and learn how you can improve your routine. But more importantly, just the friendship and the person he is. Although there is an age gap, I think just being able to connect and have those conversations, I appreciate those
in the game,
a lot.
In London, I couldn't tell being there, but when you were on the sideline looking over the tablet, was Flacco involved in that?
I think everyone's involved in that. I think I don't want to break down the whole, but you look at your, tablet and you kind of think for yourself. You ask questions. Guys are there, kind of flip flop. Even when I was in that chair, so just I think everyone says what they can whenever the time is right.
Dylan, Kevin told us that he's going to wait until later in the week to decide if Shador can be the number two,
yep,
or if maybe Bailey would be the number two. Does that impact you and your
coach? I don't handle any of that. I'll leave that to coaches, but shoot, we got a great room, a bunch of guys that either played or have the potential to play, and I think we just come together as a team, and the importance is trying to find ways to win. Yeah, but I'll leave that with coach. You know what I'm saying?
Not the decision, but what I meant was, do the number one and number two guys, because you guys are like out there taking most of the first team reps together, is there a synergy that happens during the week between you guys just in terms of preparation, in terms of film study, and does this sort of delay in decision, does that impact your preparations in any way whatsoever, or do you guys all do that stuff together?
No, it's always been together. So I think just business as usual, but like I said, just solution-based and trying to find ways to win and be flexible and open to that.
That being said, did you have a conversation with Shador after the Flacco trade of kind of how crazy and surreal it is that, it started out four-man competition and now the two rookies are left standing? Did you guys have a conversation about that?
I think our whole room just, talked shortly after, but at this point we're really not surprised what can happen in the NFL, so, yeah.
Already you're not surprised?
Or yeah, at this point, anything that can happen.
Pittsburgh has a lot of turnovers. Their defense. What do you make of what you see so far?
Yeah, they're extremely talented. I think there's individual pieces for sure, but I think as a whole, play really well together. know a couple of the guys, know of a lot of the guys, so got a lot of respect for them. We got to prepare a certain way. I think that's every week, but most importantly, this week, because that's all you can control.
Dylan, with those takeaways that they force, I guess how much of a test is this for your processing, since obviously, you know, that's what everyone talks about.
Yeah, I think it's always a test week to week. There's a, you know, a challenge ahead, and certain teams have different challenges, and you got to find solutions to that. So, like I said, we got to be flexible. We got to be open to ideas to find ways to beat that. But you control that by being really good today.
Dylan's scored 17 points. That's kind of been where this offense has been since the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. And I know you don't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
But you know, your first start, you guys score 17. So just from your standpoint, what do you think you guys can do potentially to get beyond that and give yourselves a chance to win all of these games?
Sustainability, we always talk about it. You know, you want to be efficient and sustain drives. But it is hard to score points, of course. But, you know, that's our job. We got to find ways to do that and do it at a higher clip. But small gains we're building and got to continue to do that. But we'd love to score every single drive, obviously. But I think that's us learning to sustain drives together. You know, you watch the film back. There's a lot of times we can help ourselves. Make more competitive plays, and starts with me for sure.
Hey, Dylan, we've talked a lot to you about the rookie class in general, and it's just beyond the draft class, right? There's a bunch of rookies,
yep.
And they're playing big roles. So first, how exciting is that? But also, what kind of challenges do you think it presents, whether it's during a practice week or on game day?
Yeah, it's a good young core. A lot of guys that I'll say, like, I've known a bunch about, and glad I get to go to war with. But I think that just shows ultimate belief and all the experience that we've had as a whole. Going out there and doing our thing, but a lot of guys who've made a lot of plays for us this season thus far will continue to, but I think we're continuing to build that, you know, and the trust is obviously there, but how can we take it to another level? Because like I said, we got to, you know, put solutions that can help us find a better outcome.
Dylan, I'll take two more.
Dylan, now that the first one's out, your first start's out of the way. Just how prepared do you feel to be able to take on more and do more within the offense and what you guys are trying to accomplish offensively?
Yeah, each week you get better and more comfortable. That's with everyone. And you want to be able to do more. You know, that's what we're trying to do and find solutions we have to. So that's part of it, but we'll continue to do that as much as possible.
I know a bit of a road start, but pretty much looking forward to playing in Pittsburgh.
Just excited for the opportunity. I know, you know, it's another week to go and showcase what we can do at a high level. And we always look forward to that challenge with a lot of respect for our opponents. So it'll be a lot of fun.
We're going to get Mary Kay and Tony.
With respect to having a veteran presence in the room, I know you've talked about this before, that Deshaun Watson has been a help to you guys. I've seen him working with you and, you know, working with Shakur. So can you just address that a little bit of how, you know, now, like, even with Joe Gunn, you guys still have a pretty experienced veteran in that room with you, even though we don't see him very much?
Yeah, Deshaun's been a great guy to me. And shares his knowledge whenever I ask questions, so I'm very appreciative of him, and know that relationship will continue to evolve as well.
In the London game, it seemed, at least to me, if I'm wrong, that you spent a lot of time in the pocket rather than was that by design, or did they keep you there?
I think as an offense, you always strive to be in sync and flow and on time, and I think, you know, with our offense particularly, I think you see how fun it can be when that's efficient. But I think, you know, you strive and want to touch that as much as possible. But anytime you're not, you know, you're given it a chance, and you want to ad lib and have that ability, of course. But I think you see it as much as you can touch that as possible. You know, the more efficient you are down to down, really, and even in series.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From starting quarterback Dylan Gabriel, his press conference today. You know, he's not going to answer questions about the backup quarterback. He might talk about the room a little bit. That's what he did. And, you know, obviously he's getting ready for a second start. He knows what he's got going on going into Pittsburgh. I think he's a smart kid. There's no question about it. I mean, I don't know if he's a kid, but he's a smart quarterback. He knows what to do given the circumstance, I think. And he didn't turn the ball over in that first game. So I'm sure that's something that head coach Kevin Stefanski thoroughly enjoyed when going back and watching film over the last couple of days. I don't know if today's storyline is really all about Dillon Gabriel and what Dillon Gabriel had to say. It's more about Kevin Stefanski and what Kevin Stefanski did and didn't say. And he said he would wait till the end of the week to announce his backup quarterback. And there's rules with taking guys off the practice squad and then elevating them to the regular squad and then making them the emergency quarterback on Sunday. So some of those things will have to play out. I think we may know by Friday who the backup quarterback is. You know, Kevin Stefanski also said they were kind of taken back and they were a little bit surprised by the trade itself and the offer that Cincinnati gave the Browns going into this, especially for two teams that don't make deals together to send Joe Flacco. In fact, Dan was reading some stuff about how things went down in Cincinnati even more.
So according to our buddy James Rapine, who works down in Cincinnati now.
He used to work here?
Yep. Yeah. The Bengals sent a car to pick up Joe Flacco and his wife yesterday. Zach Taylor jumped on a call with Flacco, and he began studying the offense on the way to Cincinnati. It's roughly a 3.5-hour drive, and Flacco will start with the Bengals on Sunday. So you think he learned an offense in 3.5 hours?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he could. Especially, the other thing, too, is it's not like he didn't study the defense they're going up against this week.
He already knows the defense.
I mean, they're playing the Packers, so it's kind of a good... I mean, if I'm Zach Taylor, it's a good situation for him to have for his first game.
Two thoughts. Here's the offense.
Okay.
Joe?
Yeah.
Meet Jamar Chase.
Pleasure to meet you.
Joe, this is T. Higgins. They'll be open. Get them the ball. This is Chase Brown. You can hand it to him. These are your offensive linemen. Duck. What more does he have to know? Doesn't that pretty much sum it up?
Yeah, pretty much sums it up.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Jamar Chase likes it thrown anywhere where he can reach it with his arms. T. Higgins, maybe a little bit more specific. Andres Yoshivas will be there to help you along the way.
Hit him in stride, and T. Higgins will go 80 yards for you.
Yep. And my best advice to you is to get the ball out as fast as humanly possible before Micah Parsons decides that you belong in the dirt.
Do you think
because he's still mad he didn't get to you often enough when you played the Browns?
Either when Rashawn Gary does the same thing.
Hey, Packer fan Dan, in a weird world where you play a team twice during the season with two different teams, is that I would think the advantage would be to Joe. I think it's advantage Joe because the Packers have seen him, but they've seen him with other players. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a slight advantage for the quarterback there.
I could see that, but the thing with that game was what won that game for the Cleveland Browns. It's their defense.
Yeah.
Their defense was outstanding. Packers defense did a very nice job against Joe Flacco as well, but the Browns defense won that game.
Final 3 minutes and 50 seconds. That was about it.
Yeah. The Browns defense won that game. So if you're a Packers fan, you're looking at it going, well, it might still be Joe Flacco. But at least you don't have the Browns defense coming with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, that's true. That's true. I just, it is odd that he's playing in Green Bay again, right? Doesn't it just seem, and maybe he'll get picked up by Dallas next week. Maybe they'll trade him to Dallas so before the Packers play Dallas, they'll know him again. They'll get to play for a third time. I know. Stupid joke, Andy. Good job.
I liked it, Andy.
Did you hear anything from Dillon that struck out?
We now go live to Jerry Jones for his thoughts on trading for Joe Flacco.
Oh. I don't have time to have a bad time. It isn't on my schedule.
Thank you.
Then he flips someone else off.
Yeah, you know why? Yeah. He's too busy writing a check for $250,000 because inadvertently flipped someone the bird.
I was just telling him they were number one.
I know, I inadvertently do that all the time.
I was just going to say, all one. Those times, were you giving me a thumbs up?
I was pointing to heaven. That's why we put the hole at the top of the stadium.
You ever see somebody who points with the middle finger? It's quite uncomfortable.
My grandfather does that.
Yeah.
We had to teach it out of, anytime he had to make a point, that's how you knew he was
my
making a point.
My dad used to do that too. Mm-hmm. Point to something on paper. It's like, Dad, you're flipping me off.
Oh, my grandfather would shake it to scold you. I was like, man, that's like a double whammy. Then he would point to which corner he had to go stand in too.
At a much lesser level, and I can't believe I'm getting into this right now and might get us thrown into a meeting.
Oh, good.
People that send you, anyway. Instead of writing out the word okay, they just send you the letter K. You with me on this?
Yeah, hell does that have to do with anything?
You know, Dan knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, people do this all the time. It drives me up the wall.
If you just write the letter K, it's kind of like the same thing as Right? You with me on this or not, Dan? I need your help. I know. I see you.
There's a level of grumpiness that comes with just getting a letter in response to anything.
But it's not exactly.
So just responding with a K is like giving somebody the bird.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I think a lot of
people got an emoji for that now, Jeff.
Yeah, they do. But it has nothing. It's not Baskinism. Trust me. I'm just a. Just someone
a cog
walking
in the machine.
I know. I'm just walking the gigantic beach of life.
Mongo only pawn in game of life.
That's right. 216-474-0092. All right. So you've heard from your starting quarterback, Taylor Gabriel. I did it. I knew I was going to do it just once. Dylan Gabriel. I don't know why I have that bad habit. Have you heard me do that? I've done it a couple times. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, apparently you just said Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah. I don't know why I do that. Everyone. It's the whole Gabriel thing. So you heard from your starting quarterback. You heard from your head coach today. Kind of feels like there might be a little bit, I don't know, it just feels disjointed to me. 216-474-0092.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.